Seeds by Sherwood Anderson. He was a small man with a beard and was very nervous. I remember how the cords of his neck were drawn tight. For years, he had been trying to cure people of illness by the method called psychoanalysis. The idea was the passion of his life. "I came here because I am tired," he said dejectedly. "My body is not tired, but something inside me is old and worn out. I want joy. For a few days or weeks, I would like to forget men and women and the influences that make them the sick things they are." There is a note that comes into the human voice by which you may know real weariness. It comes when one has been trying with all his heart and soul to think his way along some difficult road of thought. Of a sudden, he finds himself unable to go on. Something within him stops. A tiny explosion takes place. He bursts into words and talks, perhaps foolishly. Little side currents of his nature he didn't know were there run out and get themselves expressed. It is at such times that a man boasts, uses big words, makes a fool of himself in general. And so it was the doctor became shrill. He jumped up from the steps where we had been sitting, talking, and walked about. "You come from the West. You have kept away from people. You have preserved yourself. Damn you, I haven't." His voice had indeed become shrill. "I have entered into lives. I have gone beneath the surface of the lives of men and women. Women especially I have studied. Our own women, here in America."
"You have loved them?" I suggested.
"Yes," he said. "Yes, you are right there. I have done that. It is the only way I can get at things. I have to try to love. You see how that is. It's the only way. Love must be the beginning of things with me." I began to sense the depths of his weariness.
"We will go swim in the lake," I urged.
"I don't want to swim or do any damn plodding things. I want to run and shout," he declared. "For a while. For a few hours, I want to be like a dead leaf blown by the winds over these hills. I have one desire and one only. To free myself."
We walked in a dusty country road. I wanted him to know that I thought I understood, so I put the case in my own way. When he stopped and stared at me, I talked. "You are no more and no better than myself," I declared. "You are a dog that has rolled in offal, and because you are not quite a dog, you do not like the smell of your own hide." In turn, my voice became shrill.
"You blind fool," I cried impatiently. "Men like you are fools. You cannot go along that road. It is given to no man to venture far along the road of lives."
I became passionately in earnest. "The illness you pretend to cure is the universal illness," I said. "The thing you want to do cannot be done. Fool, do you expect love to be understood?" We stood in the road and looked at each other. The suggestion of a sneer played about the corners of his mouth. He put a hand on my shoulder and shook me.
"How smart we are. How aptly we put things.